So, today, we've heard Sheila's testimony. Thank you again for that, Sheila. And today's Bible story also shares the testimony of a certain woman. A woman who was in desperate need. A woman who had been abused and taken advantage of. A woman who had been shunned and avoided. A woman who was in deep pain and discomfort. A woman who knew what it meant to be vulnerable and isolated. A woman who knew what long-term illness was like. A woman on the brink of giving up. A woman who was running on empty. Any of us here today able to resonate with some of those things? And yet, she seeks Jesus out. She'd obviously heard of him. I mean, who hadn't? She'd heard that he could heal people, all sorts of people. And somewhere within her, she finds the strength to seek after him. Now, this wouldn't have been easy for her to do for various reasons, but two in particular. Firstly, and you've heard me say this phrase a lot in this Encounters with Jesus series, she's a woman. And as we've seen in the various encounters that Jesus has had with people, women in this society were seen as second-class citizens, not important enough to be seen with men in public, particularly with a rabbi. But secondly, she wasn't just any woman. She was an unclean woman. According to Jewish law, coming into contact with bodily discharge, I never thought I'd say that word in a sermon before, such as this woman's bleeding, made a person impure. It defiled them. And so this woman will have been avoided by everybody. Going into a large crowd to reach Jesus was therefore a very risky and courageous thing to do. But she takes it nonetheless. But what does she have to lose? You know, if she tries it and it doesn't work, well, she's not lost anything, has she? But if it works... On the prayer course on Tuesday, we learnt about listening to God. And one of the approaches that was encouraged was Lectio Divina, which simply means holy reading, where we seek to listen to the Bible for revelation and not just education. It's a prayerful, meditative approach to the Bible, where as we hear the story, we seek to enter into it to see what God might be wanting to reveal to us. Now, the first step of Lectio Divina is to read the story, and we've had it read to us by Carol this morning. And this has brought a sense of familiarization about the story. The next step is to go back to this story and explore it using our imagination. And we're going to do this today by hearing the story told from the perspective of the bleeding woman, which has been written by a lady called Liz Carter, And if you like the story that you've heard today, then please come and see me and I can let you know the details. Myself, Jan Wilson and Lucy Robinson have all got copies. As Lucy comes up to read this to us, please can I encourage you, like you would, you remember when we were in school, get comfy, we're about to have a story, get comfy, get settled. And you might want to close your eyes so you can really enter into it and imagine the story as if you were there yourself. And as you enter into this, can I encourage you to think and see which characters you most relate to? What aspects of this story move you? And what is God saying to you about himself, about others, or about you? Lucy is going to read this story, and then we're going to allow a time of silent reflection afterwards.
There are too many people. The crowd presses in on me and swallows me as I push through, desperate for a glimpse. Nothing has changed for me in all these years. And now, in the autumn of my days, I sense any remains of hope breaking to pieces and floating to the mud packed ground. I see some of the stairs now, even as I try to make my way through to him, stairs chased with pointing fingers and whispers. That woman shouldn't be with us. Someone get rid of her. Unclean. The word whispers through my soul, joining 1,000 whispers and hissed accusations of 12 long years as an outcast. If he is who they say he is, then he won't want anything to do with an untouchable like me, a woman. And it's not just that. If I'm seen near him, touching him, then that will mean he becomes ritually unclean. I would contaminate him. But something pulls me forward, an invisible force, as if something has grasped hold of my hands and dragged me on. I could just see him, I think to myself. I could just touch the very corner of his cloak, then maybe, surely, some of that power would stream into me. Maybe this pain would leave me if I got close to him. I don't have to talk to him or even make my presence known in any way. I can get near him without being shamed. My stomach drags. That familiar feeling cramping up my back and radiating through my body, I can feel bleeding even now. My vision blurs as I struggle. My feet stumble. I'm going to faint. The crowd is a lake in a storm. The air is an oven thick with dust. I don't think my packed cloths will be enough to staunch. Oh, I am faint. A man is shouting way out in front of me. Please, he's saying, his voice a shard of desperation. Please, hurry! His cloak. If I can just touch his cloak. I whisper these words to myself over and over as I push through. I can see the man now that I heard. He's pulling the arm of the miracle worker. Please, she's dying, my little girl. His cloak. If I could just touch his cloak. I've heard the stories, of course. I've heard that he touches people and they are healed. They're transformed. If I could touch him, that's why I came out today. If there's any chance, maybe he could heal me too. As I draw nearer, even the dust in the air seems to crumble in front of me. I can see him now, the man they told me about, the one who heals. A dirt on his face, his hair matted, his beard thick. He looks normal. Why then am I so captivated? I elbow my way through, drawing hisses and whispers. That woman! A face in the crowd opposite me stops me in my tracks. I recognise him, one of the doctors who hurt me. For a moment, I resist the pull. Then I inch forward, wishing I could shrink entirely, that I could stop taking up any space at all, wishing I was unseen and unheard and nothing. His cloak. Just a step, just a touch. No one will see, not in this crowd, not in this dense forest of noise. One touch, I reach out my hand, I bend. It's ragged, I notice. The hem is loose and frayed, dust clinging to the seams. It's just a cloak, just a man. A bolt through me, a shiver of fire pounding through my veins, a rush of warmth and something else. The pain of 12 years is gone. I begin to shake. Then he turns around. Who touched my clothes? I keep my eyes pinned to the ground. He can't see me. I'll make him unclean. One of his followers laughs. You ask who touched you? With this lot all jostling round you the whole time? The others joined in. But he keeps looking round, searching, seeing, and I know what I have to do. So I stumble, nearly tripping over a small child, falling on my knees, trembling, my whole body convulsed. Not only fear smashing through my bones, but a melting liquid of warmth, like wine, but 1,000 times sweeter and fresher and cleaner and wilder. He stands in front of me and his gaze is piercing. He can see into the broken parts of me. I cannot look away. Daughter, he says. I gasp. The word hangs in the air, and people around stare and point and whisper, unclean! But he doesn't talk about the infringement of his ritual purity. My great shame I am bowed under. While I wait for his rebuke, he doesn't say he's contaminated by me. Daughter, I'm shaking with shivers of inexpressible joy. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.
As you slowly come back into the room, take time to process what it is you feel God has shown you as you've listened to that story, as you've entered into it. And here are some questions to help you think this through. How did you find this approach to Scripture? Were you able to enter into the story, or did you find yourself getting distracted or bored? Were you able to relate to the main character? Or any of the other characters? What aspect of this story most moved you? And did you sense God revealing anything to you about himself, about other people, or about yourself? I'm just going to allow for a moment of quiet to just process some of that, and then we'll move forward. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of imagination. And we pray that if you have revealed something of yourself through today's story, some revelation to us about you, about others, or about ourselves, would you make it clear? Now, you may want to chat about some of your thoughts that you had listening to that story after the service with others over refreshments. But this story is recorded by Mark in such a way as to speak of the intimacy between Jesus and this woman, and to encourage us, those reading and entering into this story, to pursue that same intimacy with Jesus. Tom Wright said something beautiful and powerful about this passage. He said, "When life crowds in with all its pressures, there is still room for us to creep up behind Jesus if that's all we feel we can do, and reach out and to touch him in that odd mixture of fear and faith that characterizes so much of following Jesus, of being his disciple." And that's what we're going to do now. We've read the story and familiarized ourselves with it. We've explored it. We've entered into it using our imagination. And the next step is to pray through this story with God, to converse with him. So let's enter into prayer now. And as we do this, I'd really encourage you to have an open posture. I think there's something important about the posture we use in prayer. So just sit and relax. Open yourself up. Maybe you would like to open your hands like this in order to receive what Jesus has for you this morning. Because these aren't just encounters with Jesus in the past. Jesus is looking to encounter you today by his Spirit. So let's pray. Jesus, like the woman in today's story, we come before you in fear and in faith. We come before you openly, feeling exposed and vulnerable. We come with our doubts and our distractions, with our hopes and joys, with our fears and failings, with our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs. Like the woman, we fight our way through to you, despite the many things we carry and the many eyes of judgment upon us. We stoop low and reach out, grasping at the corner of your cloak. And as we do, we sense your healing power. The deep warmth of it. We begin to feel a weight lifting, a peace and lightness emerging. We begin to sense a release. As we begin to rise up and look at you, we see you looking back at us. But your eyes are not full of condemnation, judgment, or disdain. They are filled with grace, compassion, and mercy. We are seen. We are known. And we are loved. We bow at your feet in awe and wonder, in reverence, knowing that we have met with God's Son, who has the authority to make all things right. And we hear you say to us, "My child, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And by faith and with thanksgiving, we receive that promise today. Amen.